Let's stand and worship.
I
just a God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, do I still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship.
Do you believe that? I thank you that you define who we are, and if we're smart enough, and if we believe you enough, and if we ignore the lies of all the other voices that counter who you say we are, we will live in a pretty amazing place. We will live that victorious life evermore that you promised us here and now. We can live in that space where Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. But I think so often we don't live in that reality. We live in the circumstances of our life that are true and real, but we don't overlay those circumstances with the truth of who you say we are and the reality of who you are and that you have all the power, you have all the wisdom, you have everything we will ever need for this life. Father, may we never chase after anything else, yet we do at times. May we do that less and less and push into who you say we are more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets deep. I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I'll remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Upon me, stay desperate for you, God. Stay humbled at your feet. I will lift these hands in praise. I will believe. I'll remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. and I cannot hear your voice. Hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe.
Jesus Christ, my living.
we sing that song. It's overwhelming to sing the songs that your buried body, Jesus, began to breathe. That out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." As children of God, we can say that the death has no claim on us. Yes, someday we will probably pass from this world. But that's not a bad thing. It's sad for the people left behind. But for us, man, we're stepping into an amazing place where death and sin and sadness no longer has place. So, Father, what a hope we have in you. May we live in that place of extreme hope in the midst of the things that we walk through, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our current climate in our world. If we don't walk in hope, then who? If the children of God don't rise up and walk in hope, this world is already in bad shape. It's going to get worse if we, as your children, don't stand up and live something different in front of a world that's desperate for hope. They're desperate for love and acceptance and identity. And we have all those answers in you. May we not hide that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
You guys have a good week? Nice and sunny, except for those few hours of rain. That was awesome. I loved it. I mean, I was inside, so of course I loved it. I didn't ride my motorcycle that day because I'm a weenie. No, I had things to do. Yeah, but just on that note, just be praying. I had some close calls this week. I had to dump it behind these cars, but God's faithful, so I'm not going to stop riding it. My wife doesn't know that yet, so she won't watch this. No, it's good. I love being out in it. It's amazing what happens if you've never ridden a motorcycle. It's not even as good as being in a convertible car. As you smell everything, they're just so much different. And then you know how bad drivers are, because they will pull out in front of you and just do all kinds of crazy stuff. So anyway, you're praying not just for me, but everybody that rides a motorcycle out there in the summertime, because that's interesting. It was really funny this morning. I know it's my kids, but whatever. I always love watching Emily worship with a baby strapped to her chest. Quinn's been there since she was, in utero. And this morning in practice, Dad had her at the drum set, so I took pictures and video. She loves the drums, man. She's over there banging away, and it was awesome. I love that. And again, I know they're my kids and whatever. I'm a little biased, but I don't think, I think I've already said this before, but in all the churches I've been in all my life, small, medium, and large, I don't think I've ever seen that, ever. Where the worship team has their baby strapped to their chest and they just continue on. And the baby falls asleep. That's what I love, right? She's not squalling and crying and carrying on. She falls asleep to worship. And she has since she was born and before that. So I love that. And that being said, if you're a visitor with us today, we love our babies and kids in here. So if they squall, they're not going to bother me. And we're all family here. It doesn't bother anybody else, correct? Yeah. All right. That's the right answer. Cool. All right. It's been a great week. I'm always interested in where Father's going to take me, and we're going to go back to where we've started many months ago, our journey in Second Chronicles. And it's always fascinating, as I've said many, many times before, where I have an idea of how long it's going to take to go through something. God's going, I don't think so. So I think I've given up on that now. I'm like, okay, Father, however long you want to stay in wherever you want to be, I'm there. And so we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And like I said, if you haven't, they're all online. If you go back and listen to the messages leading up to this moment in time. Because again, I started with just this verse. I was going to make a little nice 4-week message out of it for, it was going to be awesome and short and sweet. And that started in January, so here we are. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says this, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. This verse has been paramount in my thought process long before COVID, long before anything. This verse has just been one of those powerful verses that just, man, what does that look like, God? If we are your people, and I understand contextually we need to understand who it was written to in the moment, but for us this morning, are those words not true for us today? I mean, the culture in which we're living, how often do we sit in this place of listening to God says, if my people, that's who we are, who are called by my name, we looked at that a while back, humble themselves, which I think for the American mindset is not always the easiest to do, right? I think a lot of the places, from what I understand, of course, I haven't traveled internationally other than being in Canada, I don't know if that counts, or I've gone down into Mexico on a couple different mission trips, and I've been to Guatemala. But by and large, I keep hearing the thing that the Americans are just prideful and nasty and arrogant. Is that inaccurate for those that travel internationally? For the most part, yes, no, right? So I don't understand. I understand some of that why that is, but to get to that place where humble themselves, we got to get to this place, especially before God. And the thing that we're looking at this morning, and pray. And then we know that's like obviously that's our foundation, or should be our foundation in relationship with Jesus Christ, and in relationship every single day that we're praying and talking to Father. As a young man, when I was in church and I heard preachers talk about that verse, pray without ceasing. I'm like, how in the world is that possible? One, as a young man, I thought praying was boring because I didn't understand what prayer was. Right? I thought prayer was this solemn, and all these things are good, but in my mind, I had this solemn, no smile, no laugh, have to have the eyes closed, very stoic. There are those moments. But I think by and large, God is like, man, just come talk to me like a person, right? And then, you know who taught me how to pray? Was when I was running youth group in Colorado. Listening to my youth kids pray was like, oh, that's how you're supposed to pray. Especially my teenage boys, man. They weren't like, and some people could listen to their prayer, go, man, that's very irreverent. And it wasn't, it was just how he talked to his buddy, how he talked to his friends. And I think somewhere in Scripture it says we're friends of God. Am I mistaken in that? But in this verse here, it's interesting. As I was looking through this and looking at Blue Letter Bible, I talk about all the time. If you've never tapped into that resource, it's a beautiful thing. And this word pray here, it's interesting. As I was looking through all the different scriptures that talked about praying, this isn't a real touchy-feely prayer. This isn't a prayer of like, oh God, I need you to supply all my needs. That's not what this kind of prayer is. This prayer is really one of desperate evaluation of who we are. If we look at this whole verse in context, right? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, if we're really in this place of humility, and we're in this place of praying from that place of humility, and we're seeking his face and turn from their wicked ways, all those things are not like, I need something. We desperately need something, but that's not the kind of prayer. It's this prayer of abject, okay, God, I am messing this up. Even if my life looks really good, I am messing this up somewhere. And I want to have this desperation of humility. I want to have this desperation of seeking your face. I want to have this desperation of turning from my wicked ways. I'm like, okay, what's my wicked way? Right? It doesn't have to be some big gross sin, right? Sometimes my wicked way, just to be a little honest with you, is watching too much TV. It's spending time watching a show that in and of itself, not a bad thing. whatever. I'm just saying, if that's taking more of my time than sitting in my on my face before Father, and again, that attitude too, what kind of prayer is this? I think this is the kind of prayer where we are face down, literally on the floor. Desperate for God to change something in our lives. I try to be as honest as possible in front of you all every single week. It's been a long time since I did that. It's been a long time since I've literally been nose in the carpet, face down. We need to do that sometimes. It's an interesting place to pray from. It's hard to be prideful when you're face down on the carpet. It's a different position even from sitting like you're sitting in your chair right now, praying from that place. Now, the older I get, it's hard to get up from that place on the carpet. But I'm saying there's times when I believe here in the scripture, this is the kind of praying that he's talking about. This isn't a simple little thing where we come together, and those are great times to come together and pray together. That's great. But how often do I sit in that place and listen to Father talk to me instead of me talking to him? A couple of weeks ago, I met with a couple of buddies of mine, and we sat around a dining room table. And we said, let's pray. And most of the time when you say that, you just start praying about whatever comes to mind, right? Or you have this agenda or whatever it is. And we said, before we start praying, we're like, we're just going to sit here in silence until Father talks to us. And so we probably sat there for 3 to 5 minutes or so in total silence. And then we just started praying out loud whatever Father was downloading to us. And some of it was scripture, some of it was just attributes of who Father was. So it was just, yeah, I haven't been in a place of prayer like that in a long time. Because I usually come to Father with this list of things that I need or things that I want. And you know my situation with Devon, she's got a lot of these health issues. So I'm constantly asking Father about her health and praying for her healing. Not a bad prayer. But maybe Father wants to talk to me about something else. He's like, no, I understand, son. I understand. She's sick. I get it. I mean, keep talking to me about it. But, son, maybe I want to talk to you about something else. Maybe I want to talk to you about these things that need to change in your life that you need to submit to me. Maybe so you see things of these wicked ways that in your life that on the surface look like good things, but you need to surrender them to me so you can be more effective as my son, so you can be more effective in the people that I've called you to minister and serve and shepherd. Maybe I need to get on my face more often so when I'm out in the community and I have people talking to me like I had last week, I had this encounter with this individual, and you know, after they found out what I do for a living, which is always an interesting conversation, they started talking about things there of God. Their theology was not all correct. I didn't correct them. It's about having a conversation with these individuals. And I'm desperately listening because my mouth wants to go, I can give them all the theology, right? I can try to correct their faulty thinking. But in the moment, they're not ready to hear that. In the moment, my job is to listen desperately to the Father and say, Father, what do you want me to say in this moment? Am I desperate at that level? Am I heartbroken over just my own stuff in my own life? Am I desperate and heartbroken over things that I know about in other individuals and other brothers and sisters in Christ? How much time am I spending on my face before Father for them, and not praying with an agenda, not praying with a, even though it's really clear cut, hey, so-and-so's got this going on, is that what I'm supposed to pray for? That sounds like kind of very counterintuitive sometimes. I'm not saying those prayers aren't necessary and they're not right, but so often I know for myself that's what I go to. Instead of sitting in that tension of silence, and saying, God, what do you want to talk to me about? And I have a favorite Bible that my dad gave me years ago. It's an old book. It's an old Bible. I looked at the date this morning. I mean, it's not that old. It's old for it's old for me. But, you know, it came out in the early 60s. So, I mean, for some, that's not that old, but for me, that's old, right? But it's one of my favorite Bibles that I use. It's a Dake. Dake is a study Bible. I have to use my glasses, and I'm getting to the point where I need magnifying glass on top of that because the print is really stinking small. But it's one of the best study Bibles I've ever seen. The margins are just filled with other stuff. And it's interesting when I looked at this particular thing in 2 Chronicles, they list in there that there's 221 prayers in the Bible, like recorded person praying. Now, that's not counting someone, you know, references and they prayed and he prayed and that's all they say. There's lots of those kind of things. But 221 actual prayers written down. Now, as I was thinking about that, and, you know, God always gives me some new direction to go. Now, I don't, he might change my mind, so I'm not saying we're going to go through all 221 prayers, right? That would take us a few minutes, right? I'm not saying it would be a bad thing, but for me personally, this week, God's like, I want you to start studying all 221 of those prayers. I mean, I know I've read them. I've read through the Bible multiple times. But to intentionally going through and just reading the prayers of the Bible, reading through and who are these people and what was going on around those scenarios of this kind of praying. And we're going to look at one this morning in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened on the month of Shavuot, or Chazel, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, the Hanai, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem, and they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Look at Nehemiah's response when he hears about, I mean, there's so many things that are going on in his mind and all the things that he's seen and understanding. But his response as he heard these words, he sat down, wept and mourned for days, and continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I don't know, I'm going to be honest with you, I've never done that. I've never heard a horrible situation going on in someone's life, and I sat down, and I wept, and I mourned, and I fasted for days. That has never happened in my life. Shame on me. And that's the kind of prayer we're talking about here, that we need to humble ourselves and pray at this kind of level. This is the kind of prayer that 2 Chronicles is talking about. This desperation that Nehemiah has, he's on his face, he's sitting down, he's weeping, he's mourning for days, not for a couple minutes, not even for a couple hours, for days. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a group of American church brothers and sisters in Christ sitting down in a space for days in desperation to pray over the culture, to pray over the nation that we find ourselves in? And this is, please don't hear this as a judgment. This is a tough message. I didn't want to preach it. You guys, like, here you go. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. But I'm just saying, we need to get to this place of different kind of praying. If we want to see any, we like to talk about, and I've talked about how I'd love to see another good run in America, a good revival happen. That's not going to happen unless we get like this, I guarantee you. We can't just have this little, you know, I'll pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for them to get right with God. 5-minute prayer, move on. Not going to work. You got things going on in your families. If your family's coming apart, a little prayer every once in a while ain't going to cut it. It's about this desperate place of, God, I don't care what it takes. I will spend however long it takes. And I understand you look at me and go, well, it's easy for you. We pay you to sit around and do nothing all day, right? You can sit for hours and days and pray. True, I can. But I guarantee you, you all have time that you spend doing other things. And please, this isn't a judgment on any of us. I'm just saying this is a call to where Father, I believe, got us right now. And we're in this really poised for this amazing place to step into and pray into like we've never had before. And let's continue on here. So he's praying before the God of heaven. I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you, even I and my father's house of sin. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept you the commandments and the statutes and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the words that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though that your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name and give success to you, your servant, today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. It's a pretty intense prayer. So here's Nehemiah praying for the sins, confessing the sins of the people of Israel. Very interesting. How does he know the sins of the people of Israel? And he goes on farther to say, not my father's house and I mean, he goes right personal. We have acted very corruptly against you and not kept your commandments and the statutes and the rules. And I know we're like, well, now I got to obey all the Ten Commandments. Now I got to do this. No, there's so much more than that. The truths of God's word, the things that we know are true and right, and this is the way Father has told us to live, and we just continue to violate them over and over and over in small little ways. And that verse, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commands and do them, I will bring you to this place. I don't know what it looks like for us to be scattered. I mean, right now we're not being scattered into a foreign nation that's taking us over and holding us captive. But as I read that verse God's been very calling me out this week in a really good way in this regard. As I see scattering in the church, I see a scattering because they scatter when they don't want to hear what God has to say and they just go scatter to another church. There's all kinds of churches in this valley. This church is not for everyone. If you want your ears tickled, this is not the church for you. Because I was going to preach what Father says. I don't even like to hear it sometimes. But I think that when we scatter out and then we become weak and we become these people, again, being out in the world, I'm sure you've heard the comments too. It's like, you guys can't even agree. You guys can't even love each other. It's like, man, that accusation is accurate. Why? Because we're not in this play of desperately seeking Father's face. We're not desperately seeking and praying for one another on our face, weeping and fasting. We want this easy life. We want this easy relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not easy. Are we in this place of desperation where it's like, man, God, I want this so much. I want to be in this place like Nehemiah where I'm just like, man, I fell down, I sat down, I wept, and I mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Because I know those moments when I've tapped into that just a little bit. It's a crazy ride. When we sit in that place of following what God has commanded, and he clearly spells out, like, look, just live this way, you'll have all this stuff. And stuff meaning like these blessings that you can't contain, Scripture tells us. And we get a little taste of that, and I don't know, I can only speak for myself. I don't know why when I get a little taste of that, I'm like, oh, that's good enough. God's like, oh, okay. I mean, I had all this, but you just want to take, okay. I mean, kind of in very crude terms, well, you just want the dollar? I got millions over here. You just want the dollar? Okay, if that's what you want. All right, and that's very crude, right? So I understand that. But I'm saying it's so awesome. We get to that place where the tension, the pressure of what's going on in our life eases a little bit, and then we're not desperate anymore. We don't want to reach out. We don't want to be in this place of like, God, I don't want anything else but you, and I don't want anything in my life to hinder whatever it is that you want for me. I don't want to hinder being able to in those moments when I'm sitting with someone who does not know who you are. And I don't want anything hindering the direct download of your words to that son, that daughter that you love so desperately. And in this moment, you're giving me a moment to maybe just plant a seed. I counter people's faulty thinking every single week. I speak against certain people's faulty thinking. Do I think they're ever going to change? I pray desperately that it will. But if I don't see that, I know that I've been planting that seed. I've been chipping away at that lie. And that's not because I've got it all figured out. It's in this place of desperation, of speaking Father's words alone. This kind of praying where it's not just a list of, God, I need, I need, I need, I need. Well, it is. I need you. I need what you have. I need your mind. I need your wisdom. I need everything that you want for me in this situation. I need everything you need for us as a collectively of a, as a church here in Wasilla Community Church. I still believe there's big change coming in a good way. But I know after reading through this and where we're going to be for a couple weeks here, in this thing of prayer, I think it's important. This is not going to just be a one-week thing. This desperate kind of prayer we need to have. We need to be able to sit with brothers and sisters and sit in silence maybe for hours. To say, what would that be like? To sit for literally hours in a room together, say nothing, and go home and call that a prayer meeting. It could be. Because it's about listening to what Father would download to us collectively. Could he do it separately? Sure he can. But there is something about, like when I met with a couple of friends of mine a couple of weeks ago, when we sat around that table and sat in silence together, three boys just hanging out with Dad. There was something so sacred. There was something so powerful in that place. I'm looking for more and more of those kinds of moments. I encourage you, if you're married this morning, do that with your spouse. Do that with your kids, if you're not already doing it. Get them together. We're going to sit here in the living room and we're just going to listen. Man, what would happen if we could teach our young people to get that concept when they're the age of these little ones sitting over here? I guarantee they'd be a lot farther down the road than where I am. What if we could teach my granddaughter Quinn, if she could, and she knows she's in that space, but just like, well, if we continue to pour that kind of reality into them, like, look, we're going to have prayer time, and we're going to sit here, we're not going to ask God for stuff. We want to listen to see what God wants to talk to us about. That's vastly different. And again, I'm just preaching that what Father's talking to me about this week. He's telling me to be quiet and listen. Just like I've been learning over 30 years to be quiet and listen when my wife talks and actually hear her, I don't give myself as much trouble. Right? Same thing with God. If I shut up and listen to what he's really saying and not try to interpret what he says, right? But literally hear what he's saying to me, like, oh, that's really simple. I can do that. And here's the thing. I know without a shadow of a doubt, just like as Nehemiah was praying this prayer, the book of Nehemiah is a beautiful book to read through. And what he accomplished through God's power and wisdom. But I'm sure this prayer that he prayed here that we just looked at was not an easy thing for him to pray. But he was heartbroken over the state of his nation and Jerusalem and all these different things. And my prayer this morning is that we get desperate. And not obviously for the state of our nation, but we can't start there. We have to start here. How desperate are we as individual sons and daughters of the living God? How desperate are we and how willing are we to get before our Father and say, expose me to the very core of my existence? I don't want there to be any excuses because we can all make them as to the decisions we're making, the choices we have made, the things we have said, and on and on and on. We can all justify all of that. But let's get rid of all the justification. Let's get to that place again. I think that's why I say humble first, then pray. Because if we can't pray from a place of humility, we're not going to be able to pray at this level. And it doesn't matter how long we've been walking with Father. Some of us have been walking with Father for decades and decades. And I guarantee you all of us still have places that we need to root out and submit to Father. So this morning we're going to close with a song. I don't want you guys to stand up. I just want you guys to be in an attitude of prayer. Actually, we're not going to close the song. We're not going to do that. I was supposed to go into a prayer time. I won't drag it out for a long time, but we are going to sit in silence. I'm just going to make it. Let's just do 2 minutes. I know it's sounding like a long time. But in this next 2 minutes, I want you to just listen. Don't have an agenda. Don't try to like, okay, God, I want to hear this. I would just ask you to just, that's hard, just set aside all of the things that are going on in our brain. We have all these things that we're thinking about. And I know it's hard to shut all that off. And so I'm going to pray real quick, and I'm going to let us sit in silence, and I'll close again. Father God, in the next couple minutes, Father, I pray that you would shut off the busyness of our minds. Father, I pray that you would shut off the agendas. I pray that you shut off the excuses. I pray protection and covering over your children in this space this morning for the next couple minutes and for always. But Father, especially in the next few moments, that they would hear your voice. That they would hear what you want to talk to them about, not just in this moment, but for hours and days and months and maybe years to come. So, Father, we just take these next couple minutes, Father, and just surrender them to you. as we listen for your voice. Father God, I was in some ways not very long at all. But if we've never done this kind of thing where we sit in silence, 2 minutes can seem like forever. It's hard for us to sit in quiet. It's hard to sit, even harder to sit in quiet and shut off all the busyness and all our responsibilities and stresses of our lives that are legitimate things. But I know, Father, those moments that when we get to that space, all those things that are on our mind and our heart, they don't go away, but they get so much easier to deal with. And a lot of times we have answers that we weren't even asking for when we sit in your presence with no agenda and we're just desperate to hear your voice. We're desperate for you to speak to us. Father, I pray today, as I've been challenged even personally in your conversations with me this week, I pray this is the beginning of something new for Westlake Community Church. I pray that we become individuals who are desperate to hear from you. And as we're desperate individually, we come together in that desperation and that intensity of seeking your face. That's something different. And in that place of seeking your face, Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt to the core of my existence that you will do some pretty amazing things. But even that is not the goal. The goal is connection with you. All the rest, that's just added blessing. So I pray today as we leave from here that our times together as couples, first and foremost as individuals and as couples and families and our respective groups that we get together with, changes because of who you are in our lives and what you continue to carve out. When we lay them at your feet, not just in words, but in actual, practical, everyday surrender to those things that are not of you in our lives. Maybe we so desperate to ask for forgiveness for those things. May we not justify our words, our actions, the things we've done, not done. But just surrender them all to you. And Jesus, it's in your mighty name that we pray and we ask these things.